I'm going to confess something before I preach this. 17th chapter and the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation is two of the hardest chapters for me to completely understand. It's very difficult for me. Don't know about everybody else, but I've looked at a lot of commentaries over my life and things like that, and I have a feeling it's difficult for just about everybody. But it's difficult. So what I'll be doing in the 17th chapter tonight will be giving you what I believe, that I know for sure. There'll be some things I'll be skimpy on because I don't know. Okay? I don't mind to say I don't know. That doesn't bother me. I've been down the road too far. And there's just some things I won't tell you, they're difficult in the Word of God. It's not that we can't understand, but God is not completely enlightened, because I know He hadn't, because there's some folks say this and some folks say that. And what I'm simply saying is, I'm going to do my best tonight in the 17th chapter to give you what I believe the Word of God is saying. And it's a tremendous chapter. And I'm just going to say to you, we're going to be speaking tonight on the beast and the woman who rides the beast. We'll be basically talking about that. But let's stand in reverence to the Word of God, reading of the Word of God. We'll read a few verses and then we'll preach. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Father, again, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for this precious portion of Scripture. Father, you've shared many things through the Word of God, and it's a blessing just to read this wonderful book, this book of Revelation. And I thank you, Lord, that you provided it for us, that we could read it. We could, Lord, see so many wonderful truths in it. And tonight I know this. I know this preacher needs your help, and I need your power, need your wisdom. And, Lord, I ask you for it. You know the need of this preacher's life, and I ask you, God, to meet that. And, Father, when all is said and done, we want to always be willing to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. You're good to us. I thank you for it. And do in our hearts what needs to be done, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I have been telling you, the messages that I've been preaching on Sunday night has been what I call informative messages. Just from the Word of God about some things. We preached on the time of the Gentiles, the 70 weeks determined, Nebuchadnezzar's image, you see, and then we preached out of Revelation, the 13th chapter, and we kind of covered that and talked about the beast and the false prophet and all those things. This is good information for God's people to have. Amen. And I would encourage you to read it and study it. Study the Word of God. Study it for yourself. And let God teach you some wonderful, wonderful truths so that you'll be blessed. Amen. By the Bible, God's Word. And so tonight we're just going to start off here in chapter 17. And he talks about that one of the angels come. Now chapter 16 is where the seven vials are poured out upon the earth. They're judgments of God. And one of the angels that had one of the seven vials came here, he said, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. I want to clarify what he's talking about when he says many waters, first of all, because the Bible tells us what that means. In verse number 15, the Bible says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. He's talking about great whore sitteth upon great amounts of people and multitudes and nations and tongues. You know, I really wasn't in my message, but I got thinking this week about how Satan is trying to bring everything back toward the way it was in the day of Babel under Nimrod. Back in those days, they built a great tower, which I would consider a commerce or civil power. And then they was going to build it unto heaven, which brings together the civil power and also religious power. They was going to build this tower unto heaven, and God confounded the languages and scattered them across the world. Now, we have been busy about trying to reverse that. No, that's what we're doing. We're trying to reverse it. We think it's great to bring everybody over and have the same languages and get everybody preaching, teaching the same languages and speaking the same languages. But that's not what God intended. God separated that. And now we've got telephones now. They tell me, I don't know a whole lot about it, but they tell me they got telephones that you can talk English on and it can come out Spanish on the other end of it. It's amazing. And what they're trying to do is bring all of these languages together. Now, you say that sounds good. That's wonderful. But that's not what God said. Amen. You go back to the book of Genesis. You see, he dispersed them and he changed their languages. You see, the world is trying to build a kingdom unto itself. And also, at the same time, build a religious kingdom. One world religion, one world government. That's what it's heading for. You've heard that for years. If you've been around for years, you've heard about the one world government, one world religion that's coming. It is coming. And it's being developed right now before our very eyes. So he said, this is a great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Okay? And of course, we know in verse 15 what those waters are. It's the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now, we also know on down that this here great whore sets upon the beast. And we'll talk about that when we get down there. But it's this woman sitting on the beast. Now, he says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. We know that this woman, and again, I want to clarify this as we get started. Bible says in verse 18 that the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, I want to share with you something, because at first you say, well, it's just a city. It's more than a city. Go back with me over to the book of, chapter 21. Okay, in John, I'm sorry, Gospel of John, chapter 21. I am sorry. Go with me to Revelation 21. I've got the wrong scripture. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 9 and 10. Here we picture that John here, it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride of the Lamb's wife. Here we're looking at the bride of the Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Well, then what did he show him? He says in verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The city itself was not the bride. It was the inhabitants of that city. So this is not an unusual thing when we find back here that God says and points to the, here in the book of Revelation, points to the city. He's almost like the bride of the Antichrist. She is a city, he says. And it's not just the city itself, although we'll talk about that city, but it's the inhabitants of that city. It's a system. That's what we have here. We have a system. This woman is a wicked system, a religious system. Okay? So when we get on down, remember that, because that's what God said. The city, the woman was, which thou sawest, is a great city, in verse 18, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Maybe later on we'll get to that. But folks, listen. Have you ever known a city to reign over the kings of the earth? Maybe a country might reign over the cities, but he says a city reigns over the kings of the earth. That's very, very interesting. And there is a city who has reigned over the kings of the earth, and not only thou is doing it now and will in the future. We'll give you the name of that city in just a moment. Now look over in verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns, seven heads and 10 horns. Now this, again, we've already seen this beast. We've seen it in Revelation, the 13th chapter, when we preached on it. This is the beast. And let me say this and kind of clarify this. It's a two-sided thing. We told you this before. We know there's the beast, the person, the individual beast that will head up the Antichrist. We also know there is a system. The Roman Empire is to be revived, and it is being revived. And 10 kingdoms will be set up as a part of that Roman Empire. So he's saying here, that, and we've already seen this, the name of blasphemy, look at chapter 13, we're not going to turn back there, but the same thing, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, folks, listen to me. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not a great, great Bible scholar, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Word of God is talking about the Vatican, the Catholic religion. No doubt whatsoever in my mind. If you will listen, if you will hear it, what he says is, he said in verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colors. Well, you understand it or not, but that's the color of the Vatican. That's the color of the Pope when he's in state into the popeship, if you want to call it that. He absolutely uses those colors. That is their colors. That's the colors of the cardinals that they put on their head. Not only that, if you read that, he says, and the gold and precious stones and pearls. The Pope wears this at his installation. He wears a vest studded with pearls. And he also wears things that have gold on them. And also the Vatican is one of the most richest places in all of the world. Multitudes of money. Now you say, Brother Ross, do you feel bad talking about the Vatican and the Catholic Church? I certainly do not. I think somebody needs to. Amen. If you will only understand their beliefs. See, the Pope himself said he put his trust in the Virgin Mary. You want your trust in the Virgin Mary? And if you'll read, you'll find out concerning all these, that's who they pray through. They pray through the Virgin Mary to get answers to prayer. Amen. Shrines all over this country and all over this world are made to the Virgin Mary. Very few do you ever find is given to Jesus Christ. But it's to the Virgin Mary. These are false, wicked teachings. I'm not down on the person, the individual Catholic, but I'm down on its system. Pope cannot be the vicar of Christ. He cannot stand in the presence here of Jesus Christ on this earth. That's a blasphemous thing to say. Now, I'm not going to do that, but what if I said to you that I here am the vicar of Christ, I'm the one that stands on this earth in the place of Christ? Would you want that? Would you agree with that? Then why do we agree with it with the Pope? It's blasphemous teachings. It's wrong teaching. And what he's presenting here is exactly what's going to happen. There are up to 1 billion people that they claim. I don't know how many they've got, but they claim there's 1 billion Catholics across this world. And I want to tell you, I don't want to put a number on it, but let me tell you something. When the rapture happens, folks, these folk that has put their faith in Mary are not going to heaven. Do you understand that? So they're going to be left. Multitudes and multitudes have been deceived because of this religion, this belief of this system. You understand that? You see, don't feel bad about that. We're not out to down every Catholic individual person. I'm talking about their system. And what they believe is absolutely false. It's unscriptural and it's false. And don't feel bad about standing against something like that. We believe in Christ and Christ alone. Amen. He's the only way to heaven, period. Not through the Pope. Now, did you know also that the Pope says, the Catholic Pope, because of what's been passed down to other popes, he says that there is no way that anybody can know you're going to heaven. In fact, there's a statement made in their Catholic doctrine that if anybody says that they know for sure they're going to heaven, that they can excommunicate them immediately for that statement. You know why? Because that turns you loose to be free. And the Catholic don't want you free. They want you to believe that they got to hang on to the Catholic Church. You got to hang on to all these things, the rosary and all of these other things that they do, and so that they'll keep them in order and keep them paying their money. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. The reason Chuck said that, his mama was a Catholic. Mama was a Catholic. She got saved. His mama got saved, came to Christ. But he knows a lot about them old things that they believe, you see. And I'm saying to you folks, you've got to get away from this thing of worrying about what you say about the Pope. And I don't mean just to sit around and blaspheme him, but I'm saying his doctrine is wrong. He's wrong. He's as false as he can be. It's false. And if you start reading some of the things that the Catholic believe, it'll just set your hair up on end. So I'm saying to you, here we have 1 billion supposedly Catholics out there that one of these days when the rapture of the church happens, they're going to be there and they're going to gather together along with all of these other religions. And I believe that's what this Pope Benedict is trying to do. As he said, he's trying to bring unity amongst religions. See, it used to be that the Catholic Church wanted to bring unity among Christians. What they said, Christians. In other words, they wanted the Baptists to come in with them. They wanted the Protestant and all of them to come in with them. All this, he wanted unity. But anymore, it's going past that. They're wanting all religions, no matter what they believe, to come in and be a part of this. And I believe that after the rapture, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a one united religion, you see, and led by the Pope. I just believe that. Amen. So he says it's scarlet colored, and they said the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. And verse number 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. See, again, I don't know how much we know, how much you know, but you got to go back. This didn't just start with the Catholic Church. This started way before that with Nimrod. This has been going on for centuries. This has been going on. Then the Catholic Church come along and set all of these things up. And I'm telling you, this is a wicked situation. It calls it an abomination, a harlot. And I'm saying to you, why is they called them that, Brother Ross? Because of their beliefs is why he calls them that. They're abominable beliefs. They do not put Jesus Christ first as the only way of heaven, you see. And that's abominable. You say, well, they're just trying to get to heaven their own way. Listen to me. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one can take us to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. So we've got to be careful with that. And he said, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of martyrs and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with her with great admiration. I don't know whether you've ever read any of the history of the Catholic Church, but you need to read some history. Back in the Inquisitions, back in the Spanish Inquisition, back in the very early 1800s, they were responsible for killing in Spain over 3 million people who claimed Christ, and they slaughtered them, and 300,000 of them they burnt to the stake. Now, folks, that was the church in the name of religion, and that's only a beginning. Multitudes and multitudes and other inquisitions, they absolutely murdered Christians, slew them. You understand that? That's why he said there, he said, I saw the woman. Who is she? Well, let me tell you who she is. Yes, she's that great city, Rome, but she's more than just the city of Rome. She's the Vatican that sits in the middle of Rome. Better get a hold of it. It's a country unto itself. We send our ambassadors to it. I think that was Reagan that started that. I'm not picking on people. I'm just simply saying Reagan was responsible for that relationship between the Pope and the Vatican and the United States. There's no doubt whatsoever the Pope helped to bring down communism. There's no doubt about that. But the power she has, it's religious power, it's civil power. And we find here, he says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast and that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. And he says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. We've seen that in chapter 13. Of the book of Revelation. We saw it also in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, pointing out the one who was and is not and will be. And he says, and he could go into perdition, that they dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, there's no doubt about the Roman Empire. There's no doubt about the fact that in this writing through the chapter 17, there's no doubt whatsoever that he's talking about an individual. He's talking about a beast, but he's also talking about the system. He's talking about the Roman Empire that's as we've seen in the book of Daniel, that is to be revived. We'll find out in just a few moments the 10 kings that may help make up that Roman Empire and the power it gives to the beast. And gives him armies and gives him power and authority, does all of these things. But he said he was and is not and yet is. We discussed that back in Revelation 13. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. That absolutely could only be the city of Rome. It cannot be any other city. It's absolutely the city of Rome, and in particular, the Vatican that sits in the middle of it. Folks, they are a secret society. Now, if you've never heard preaching about the Roman Catholic Church, you probably may be sitting there feeling a little indignant. But you better find out what they believe. You better find out who they worship, and you better find out their history and the multitudes that's been slain because of them, Christians that's been slain because of them. And he said, the 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are 7 kings. Now, some people believe that this is 7 different types of government that has been in the Roman Empire. I don't lean that away, but it's 7 different types that's already in the past. And there's other ones that are coming, but he says 5 are fallen. He said there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen. 1 is, at the time that he was writing this, there was a emperor of Rome, and that's who he's talking about when he said 1 is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and he is of the 7th, and goeth into perdition. Let me just explain to you what I believe there. You take it, you look at it, you study it. It's hard, it's a difficult situation, difficult scripture. But what I believe is when he talks about the 7, there's some 5 are fallen, 1 is, The other is yet to come. I believe that's going to be the Antichrist, who is yet to come. And then he says that for a short space, I believe probably for somewhere around 3.5 years, that the Antichrist will lead and then go into the great tribulation period. And he says then he will receive that wound unto death. And folks, listen to me. It don't have to be real death. Satan is a deceiver. Some people say, well, Satan doesn't have the power to resurrect and give life, and I agree with that, but it doesn't have to be real death. It can be a deceiving factor here. But he says, and he said, the beast then that was, and he will be a beast revealed during the half of the tribulation period as a beast. At the first, he's a very friendly fellow and trying to bring everything in by peace. But in the middle of that, he certainly is not. The beast was and is not, even he is the eighth. And he is of the seven. And I believe he's the seventh that will be supposedly raised again or have the wound healed. And he goeth then into perdition. That's been said of the beast. That's been said of Judas Iscariot. That's been said of those that they will go into perdition. Okay? And he says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest, listen to me, 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings. Have we not seen the 10 toes in the book of Daniel? Have we not seen the 10 horns in the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter? They represent 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And what he's saying is these 10 kings are going to receive a kingdom. I don't know whether it's going to be regional kingdoms. I don't know whether it's going to be just countries. I'm not sure what that's going to be, but there's going to be 10 kings, okay, that rise up. You've heard it. You've heard people talking about it. We're in the days of the revived Roman Empire. The European common market over there is being raised up. You've thought about this. You know, there's quite a few countries that's a part of that European common market. There's quite a few over. But at this time, when this happens, there'll be 10 kings. Maybe regional. I don't know. But anyway, there'll be 10 kings, and he says, they will receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. He's not talking about a 60 minute hour. He's talking about a time, a period with the beast. It's going to be the last, I believe, the last of the tribulation period, possibly the 3.5 years that the kings will be set up, and they will receive during that period of time power with the beast. Okay? And then he says, these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. I've thought about that a lot. I don't know who all these kingdoms are. There's no way for me to know, but I wondered, because of the great power of the United States of America, will she be one that gives her power to the beast? Now you're going to say to me, oh, America would never do. Oh yeah, you got to remember, the rapture just happened. The saved are gone. I don't know that. I'm not saying that, but I want to tell you, America has a lot of firepower. America has a lot of power at this point. I don't know what she's going to have down the road, but I'm saying to you, could it be? All I know is these kingdoms, these kings, give their power to the beast. They make him very, very strong. Now, he says there in verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. He's going ahead of time. He's looking to the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when that happens. They come in chapter 16. The Bible says that they send out spirits out of the mouth of the dragon and the false prophet and the beast. And they go out throughout all of the world and gather armies from all of the world to the place where they have the Battle of Armageddon. Okay? So he's saying, what do they come there for? Well, they're coming there and they meet Jesus Christ there, the Son of God, and they make war against him. They stand up against him, and of course, he just speaks. And they're annihilated. Completely and fully. Okay? And he says, and they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. You gonna be with him?
Amen.
Hey, that's what he said. Amen. We're gonna be with him. Amen. I'm not going to have to fire a gun. I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm just going to be with him. He's going to speak and it's going to be over. But we'll be with him. Oh, I love it. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore setteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. We talked about that. And then it says, and the ten horns. Now listen to this. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast. They're riding the beast. Listen, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What happens is these ten kingdoms, the Antichrist who is leading these ten kingdoms is sick and tired of all this religious stuff. He wants to be honored and worshiped. So what does he do? He destroys the religious one world religion. He destroys it completely. He destroys Rome. She's burnt with fire. This is the religious system who's headed up by the Pope. And the Antichrist gets aggravated and mad because of this. And these ten kingdoms are tired of her interference. And she is destroyed. And I think the Pope right along with her. Believe that with all my heart. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying that she's going to be destroyed. They are going to absolutely destroy her and wipe her out. I believe her churches will be burnt. I believe Rome will be burnt. The Vatican will be burnt and destroyed. And then he says, burn her with fire, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. See, God did this. God put it in the hearts of those ten kingdoms to fulfill the will of God and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. There's only one city that's ever reigned over the kings of the earth, and that's Rome. See, the Vatican has done that for years. She's ruled over. She's set up presidents. She's taken down presidents. She's done all kinds of things. She reigns as a city right now over many of the kingdoms of the earth. And it's going to be worse during this time. Now, what I believe in chapter 18, probably not going to get into that, but chapter 18, there's a book written one time called The Two Babylons. And I believe that away after studying the Bible. I believe in chapter 18, you have another city that is destroyed. And that is not the religious city. That's not the religious Babylon, but that's the civil or government, one world government Babylon. Because you'll notice in verse 9 and 10, we're not going to spend a lot of time there, but the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. I think this is a different city, because over here we find that the kings of the earth hated this other one and was responsible for the destruction of it. Now you see over here, you see this kingdom, this city, this great city, which is a great civil city. I don't know where that's at. Some people think it's Babylon rebuilt. I kind of doubt that myself. But regardless, it doesn't make any difference where it is. But it's going to be destroyed in a very short period of time, like a millstone cast into the sea. And here these ships and their merchants sit outside of this city and watch it burn, and they bewail it. Who's going to buy our goods? You see, I think there is two Babylons. I think there's a religious Babylon. I think there's also the civil Babylon. See what I'm saying? But I'm saying, folks, listen, that's tribulation time. Better get a hold of it. Nothing like it. Face of this earth. And again, I say to you, I don't want anybody to go through that. I don't want anybody to be left. You know, if you wasn't saved today, you ought to crawl down this aisle if you had to. You don't have to, but you ought to run down this aisle. You ought to come to Christ and get saved, because I want to tell you, these things are coming upon us. Difficult times. You understand? And you ought to get saved. You ought not take a chance that you're not saved. As Jesus comes, all this is going to come to pass. And I trust you're saved. I trust you know Christ. I realize that, as I said, it's a little bit difficult portion of Scripture. But I hope it's helped you a little bit to help to understand a little bit of it, what's going on, what's going to happen down the road. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. I thank you for your love for us and kindness to us. And thank you for who you are. I trust, Father, if there's anyone unsaved here today, this will be the day of their salvation. I pray that right now, Lord, they'll repent of their sin and realize their need of the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be saved. Pray for we as Christians. God, help us. Help us to love you. Help us to do right. Help us to serve you as you teach us and tell us to do. Please, Lord, help us to do that. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As he is. And you must believe that, not in your head, but in your heart. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, what would God say to us if we appeal to him with all these good works that we have done? He would say to us, you remember that time that I sought you? You remember that time I sent a Christian to your door and he knocked on your door, or she knocked on your door, and you said you didn't have time? Or you told that Christian you didn't believe the way they did and you don't want to hear it? Or that you wanted time to think about it and yet you never did? God would remind you of the times that he's tried to get you saved. You remember the time, I think he would say, when I sent you to church to hear a preacher preach the word of God to you so that you could hear the gospel of Christ, and during that service you laughed and you mocked and you goofed around most of the service, not paying any attention to what the preacher was saying. To you, it was all foolishness. And yet that was God Almighty sending you, putting you into position to hear the precious Bible, the Word of God, that you might be saved. You remember that gospel tract that someone handed you that gave the gospel of Christ, and you threw it down or refused to read it, threw it in the trash? You see, God would simply say to us, I've sought you. I've give you opportunity. And we refuse to listen. You see, I want you to listen real closely and I'll be done. Real quickly, just listen close. Can anybody let you out of hell once you're there? Absolutely impossible. Impossible. Here's the gospel. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means me. That means you. Do you believe that you truly are a sinner and come short of God's glory? The Bible also tells us in Romans 6:23 that the penalty of sin is death. And that means the lake of fire, not just physical death. That means the lake of fire, Revelation 20, the lake of fire forever and ever, where they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Amen? You see, but thank God that God has provided his Son, the Lamb of God, to be our sacrifice. God provided him. See, it says in Romans 5, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not look down and see anybody worthy of salvation. He didn't see a one of us that's worthy. We're sinners. But he loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to die for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. And we could spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen. So what do, Brother Ross? You trust in Christ. You depend on him to forgive you of your sins and to change your heart and give you everlasting life. Get your dependence off of self and onto Christ and him alone. Amen. Admit that you're a sinner. Tell God you're a sinner. Let God know you're a sinner. And ask God to forgive your sins. And as the Bible says, for as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, you put your faith in Christ and him alone, He gives you power to become the sons of God. In other words, when your faith is in Him, you become a child of God. Amen. Now, I want to ask you where your faith is. Now, you say, I believe in God, but listen to me. The devil, the Bible says, believes in God and trembles. It's not just a belief up here. It's a belief down here. It's a belief in the heart that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone that you might be saved. And I'm asking you this morning, would you consider this? Would you look this over? Would you check it out with God? Are you for sure, 100% sure, that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Can you say that in your heart? I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know I'm ready to meet God. And if not, don't you think it would be a wise, wonderful thing to do today to put your faith and trust in Christ, to come and let us take God's word and show you the way of salvation, which we've already presented, and show you how to be saved by putting your faith and trust in Christ. If you'd be willing to do that, we're going to invite you to come this morning so that you won't have to do this. Boy, that's real. You understand me? That's real. And it's eternal. It's hot. And we don't want you to go there, but more important than that, God doesn't want you to. Now, are you saved? Would you bow your head, close your eyes? Just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to say before I ask you these questions, I am not in any way ever going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to do any of those things. I just want to pray for you. You say, Brother Ross, I know for sure today. I know that for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure. I am not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about that. I'm really concerned by what you said this morning. I don't want to be in a place called hell. And I'm concerned about it. Remember, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of those things. You say, Brother Ross, would you please pray for me because I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand? Put it back right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, please. Raise your hand. Put it right back down. Someone else. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm going to pray. Father, I certainly thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you for your kindness to us in providing a way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that deals with us and convicts us of sin. And I ask you, Lord, to do the work that only you can do this morning. Those who have raised their hand and just simply said, you know, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I ask God that you extend that, Lord, into them being willing to step forward and accept Christ here this morning. Get that all settled so that, Father, when they go home today, they'll have assurance of their salvation. And we're going to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.